You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture. I think that's what you're asking. It's I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there listening. We got a couple of special ladies on with me for this morning's important discussion. I'm going to check with my special guest co-host. I'm trying to get her on the line. SoulScribe, just wanted to see if you were able to come in a little clearer. I know we checked you right before the break, but I didn't know if you had gotten set up or not, so I just kind of wanted to check with you before we introduce our guest. How are you doing this morning, Queen?
Hey, good morning, King. I'm doing great. I'm great. We'll be a little clearer in a couple more minutes, but I am here and ready to join you in today's conversation.
Okay, sounds good, because, yeah, you are a little low right now, so we'll definitely try to get you locked in and clearer for the listeners out there. Look out for the ado. I'm going to bring on a returning special guest before we let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question. I have Shanae Benito. She is a former winner of the Soapbox Dialogues. For those who know about the Mental Dialogue Live experience, live in Atlanta, we just had one about a month ago, and so she has been on the show representing in that capacity, sharing one of her soapboxes, as well as she is a psychotherapist, and we are glad to have you on, Queen. If you will, say hello to the intellectual outcast out and go a little more into your background before we, again, get into this morning's discussion question.
All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I'm definitely excited to be speaking about where we are today. As mentioned, I am a psychotherapist. I also am a psychological skills trainer. I run skills groups. I also run single mothers groups and groups for new mothers virtually. So a lot as far as the psychological standpoint in psychology, just trying to better our community in general. I also work with the Alive and Well Foundation, and we provide mental health resources as well as therapy sessions to those in need. So a lot of good work done as far as mental health goes.
No, absolutely. We are meant to dialogue, and I always like to tell people the simplest way to describe that terminology, if you will, for it being the name of our community club, is I always say if we can improve the conversation inside of your own mind, you will be better, therefore the community is better. So glad to have you in that space where we're going to get into the psychology more so of this morning's discussion question, which is what can we do to support single mothers? What can we do to support single mothers? So I'm going to start with you, if you will, Shanae, just again trying to get SoulScribe settled so we can get her clear on the show. I'm going to start with you. And so when I asked you to come on for this show and you heard the question worded that way, do you recall personally what was your first initial thought? Again, always glad to have you, but I don't know if you recall what you thought when you heard the question worded that way.
I did, actually. The first thing that came to my mind, it was a video that I was looking at a couple of weeks ago. It was by Dr. Umar Johnson, and he was on a podcast, and they were having a similar conversation, and he touched on a lot of different things, but one of the main things was community. And so when you ask that question, that is the first thing that came up for me, it's community, because we understand that there are various reasons that, you know, women become single mothers, but the value that there is on community and the impact that could be made on these kids, should we have more community, I think would be one of the great places to start. More people who are engaging with the kids, more examples in the community, more mentors. I think that's a great place to begin.
No, absolutely. I definitely would agree with that. That's kind of dope when I think about it, when I hear you think about it, that you thought community. And so, yeah, I love that word. And hopefully in answering this question, if you will, this morning, maybe we'll figure out, in a sense, different and various ways to, in a sense, support the single mothers out there. If you will subscribe, let me see if you're, hopefully you're, let's see if you're coming through clear now. But I would love to get your first thoughts, and if we, you know, if you don't mind sharing, you know, one of the reasons I asked you in a sense to get back in this role, if you've kind of filled in from time to time as a special guest co-host, but, you know, in a sense, this is a background that you're navigating as well when it comes to this term, you know, in a sense of being a single mother, so that's something you've had to navigate, so you bring that to the table, but if you will, Queen, what was your first thought, and, you know, anything maybe you want to share about your own experience before we get deep and heavy into this morning discussion. But thank you again for being with us.
Yes. Well, it's definitely a pleasure to be on the show and to discuss things with you guys about being a single mother and navigating that space. When I first heard the story subject, I thought, you know, excuse me, it's a very important matter because I think there are a lot of people who need resources, especially in the realm of mental health, and they're not getting that. And a lot of times we overlook some of the struggles that people are going through, and we chop it up in a very judgmental way. So hearing that and hearing that it's not just about, like, support, but it's also about, like, the spiritual and psychological aspect was really, really good and refreshing to hear. So definitely grateful to be here. I've dealt with my own struggles mentally with facing some of the struggles. And so it's really good to hear that the community is there and people are wanting to make changes to help and be supportive.
No, absolutely. That is definitely the dialogue. And for those, if you are a first time listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, I always say we are the best in the world at hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. And while this question today, what can we do to support single mothers, in a sense, may not seem as such, but we're going to go deep today. Again, we're getting into the psychology. We're going to talk about a lot of the dialogues that are out there. And I would offer, if you will, to get some feedback. Let me see. Let me figure out what else is coming from. All right, let me see. All right, I think we lost it. It's good now, I think. All right, sorry about that. But I would offer that in getting into these dialogues and the conversations that are constantly had, if you will, Shanae, I would think a big part of today's discussion is even what does it look like to navigate the constant dialogues, the constant judgment as Soulscribe just described, if you will, right? Like, that's got to be a part of this discussion and those resources,
sure.
In addition, you know what I mean? Like obviously, we always say it takes a village, and I've always said for a long time when it comes to these conversations about things that we can do to better the community, one of the most common things is the concept of it takes a village. But what I've always said is if we're honest in 2023 when it comes to the African-American community specifically, for the most part, there is no village. I'm not saying that's everybody's lived experience, but when we generalize mm-hmm. about the community, I offer, as much as we say it takes a village, we're saying it now, knowing it's almost somewhat not a reality, and so your thought of community is so pivotal in this discussion, and again, we're going to go deep. We are against that first break, so we're going to go to this commercial and get hot and heavy with this moist discussion question. What can we do to support single mothers? We will allow you, the callers, to get in on this discussion later on as we navigate this conversation. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Do you feel like more mothers are choosing to have the government assist them with raising their children than a man?
Yes.
And
yes.
And you feel like that if they had a choice, they wouldn't choose to be co-parenting with the father of their children? You don't think that they would prefer to have that help?
Well, you got to look at it like this. I'm talking about marriage. So they're preferring to go against marriage and just...
I was married.
Huh? I was?
And I stand by what I'm going to say now.
Okay.
Even the women that do receive that assistance, mm-hmm. I argue it's the absent fathers that is actually receiving the assistance.
Uh-oh.
Because the government is only doing the job that they're neglecting to do.
Uh-oh.
So if you sit here and you say that women are getting weak and Title IX and this, that, and other,
yeah.
Actually, it's the fathers that's getting it because if they was given more than 35.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Soul Scribe. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Our special guest is mental health psychotherapist Shanae Benito. Wanted to get this thing started and cracking with a crack from tonight's conversation. You heard Ace, the brother that runs that, just giving his thoughts, and I thought it's a great space to start because when we have these dialogues, these are the conversations, right? A woman, in a sense, women are choosing the government over men and all these type of things. And even when that conversation is being had, you know, for those that know, I'm really into the stats or whatever, that's never the majority of women. But in a dialogue such as what you heard, that typically isn't even distinguished just from that standpoint. And then you heard Ace give what I consider somewhat of a unique perspective on this discussion. So when he asked this question, what can we do to support single mothers, I thought that was just a nice way to frame the start of this discussion because this is such a hot button issue. So, Scribe, I'll actually start with you. Any thoughts about even what I said or the cut? Again, I just want to just get hot and heavy into where these dialogues typically go so that we can eventually move through it in a different manner, if that makes sense.
Right. I got you. I totally agree with what Ace was saying about the need that the government is playing for absent fathers. I find that, if I'm being completely candid and honest, that there are a lot of absent fathers. I know there are a lot of, that are present as well, but I know that a lot of women find themselves in situations where the person that was supposed to be there is no longer there for whatever reason, and that sometimes the government is a great support system for filling in the gap where those fathers are not. And sometimes I think, you know, it goes way deeper to, you know, vetting people and dating and making sure that you have someone that's going to be there long term, and then eventually finding out that you didn't do your due justice in that process, and then, you know, making mistakes and realizing that, okay, well, I've got to do this regardless. So where is my help? Where is the solution? Because a lot of us don't have tribes or communities that are able to step in and help us, you know, like they were back in the day where you had granny up the street or next door and you had the village. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's just so many aspects to, you know, to living and maintaining a household that mothers are going to do whatever is necessary to take care of her children. So.
Now, you said a lot there. Today, your thoughts on the cut or anything SoulScribe had to say?
Yeah, I really appreciate what she just had to say. I mean, when you consider the fact that there are about, 57.6% of black children who are living in homes with absent fathers, that's a lot. You know what I mean? And there is a lot of pressure and financial burden that do go on those mothers. And I think it's also, you know, worth mentioning that in our community, there's always like this negative painted stigma on when you hear single mothers. And it's like you have women who are single mothers by being widowed. You have people who've been divorced. You have people who've been abandoned by partners, domestic violence situations, women who are single mothers as a byproduct of rape. So it's like, you know, the emphasis on it seeming so negative is like, oh, they would choose to have government assistance over having a father in the home. You know, I think that in a lot of ways we miss it. Like we miss it. We try to focus so hard on the judgmental aspect and the blame game instead of focusing on the fact that there are children here with a need. And there are women here who are sometimes struggling to provide that financial need. So if the government is there to provide assistance, regardless of the reason they became a single mother, I think that, you know, as long as that's not being abused, it's actually somewhat of a gift.
No, absolutely. We actually got a caller that wants to jump in. Area code 404, last 3419. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Hey, thank you very much, Montoya. I'm in Columbia. This is Frank.
Hey,
and, you
what's
know,
going on, kid? How you doing? Glad to have you in there.
I'm always going to give my African perspective. All right? I've lived in America for 30 years, so I can somewhat relate. Yeah, well, what the young lady said, well, considering all the factors from being a widow, from a woman getting pregnant by rape, and all these other factors. But when we talk about single mothers, I think there is a higher percentage of women who choose to become single mothers because of the systemic structure that supports being single mothers. I'm saying that to say that I'm currently in Colombia right now. I mean, you look at different cultures and mm-hmm. different environments where there is no support. So in Ghana, for instance, we don't have any systems like that. If you have a child, you're on your own. So a woman push for marriage to make sure there is support before they even think about a child. It's very, very important. But in our environment in America, and I'm going to use myself as an example, my ex-wife, when we got a divorce, I think the kid was less than 2 years old. Even though, and Montoya, you know me and know how involved I am as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Even
oh, wow.
though
yeah,
I was around
24/7,
this
top.
Woman
just,
chose
absolutely.
To pursue the government route as to if you're gonna, if we're not going to be together and you're out of this house, I just want you to take you through the system, get the money, and just not be a part of the kid's life. So let's.
Brent, we may have lost you, King. I really hate that. I know you were trying to kind of finalize your point with that. Frank, I think we may have lost you. If you can call back in, we'll let you get back into discussion. I'll go ahead and let our guests kind of speak on some of what you talked about. I hope you can hear me, but we lost you. Obviously, you're calling from outside this country, so maybe that's the issue. But if you can hear me, call back in and hit the one again, and we'll get you back on. Yeah, he dropped off, so hopefully he'll call back in. Clearly, he's giving his relative experience, and that's always fair. Again, we want people to call in and do that. Chanel, I'll actually start with you just kind of hearing what he's saying. The one thing that I will say, and again, I think it's very fair, he's just highlighting what I think he's highlighting, and again, he hopefully gets the call back and finish his point. But what I think he's highlighting is, as being someone who's originally from Ghana, been in the States for a long time, he's traveling in another country, he is highlighting the reality of, if you will, having a fallback system and the role that it can play. I think that's fair for him to present that, considering that is a reality, and in places where that may not be a reality, maybe the culture is less prone to move into that direction. Again, not highlighting that that's what the majority of women are doing,
right.
But I do respect that from his perspective, he see it as a reality that doesn't exist in maybe his own country. So I do think that's fair from his perspective. But your thoughts, Queen?
I do think it is a fair point to make. It is a subjective opinion for sure, you know, given his personal experience. So we don't take anything away from that. And I do see how, you know, having a fallback system, so to speak, might make people feel like single mothers have this to support them if they choose single parenthood. But I would also consider the fact that there are different cultures. And here in America, for example, you know, how we look at monogamy and the structure of marriage and the structure of relationships, you know, I would say that there's more of an emphasis on commitment. And in opposed to some of those other cultures where, you know, their marriage structures and their dating structures might also look a little different. So you have a lot of women and a lot of relationships, I would just say here, that in for various reasons. You have people who split up for infidelity. You have finances, which is the number one reason for divorce. So I can see that support system making people feel as though women have a crutch, so to speak, if the relationship doesn't work out. But we can't negate the fact that if there are men who are choosing to be absent, I'm not speaking for the, you know, population of women who are vengeful or who force the, you know, men out of the kids' lives. If we're speaking strictly on a standpoint of men who are choosing to be absent, I would think that it's more of a harsh opinion to say, like, oh, well, there's just been an opt to leave because there's this fallback system. I don't think, generally speaking, majority of women would choose to raise a child by themselves. So to have this financial backing, so to speak, again, I would say it's more of a gift. I don't see, and in my experience, especially of treating women, you know, who are going through depression and various psychological issues from being a single mother, that's not something that I see in a majority that women are choosing, that, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely makes sense. It kind of makes me think of what Ace was saying in the sense of how he highlighted the government, in a sense, is actually assisting the man. But from a psychological standpoint, I would guess, you treating when we got Brother Frank, we're about to get him back in as well. But I would, as you say, for the women you've helped assist and treat, I bet even if they are on government assistance, they would choose, most of them would choose that man being involved all day. Versus
absolutely
having to rely on that existence or whatever. But again, you know,
absolutely,
fair to Frank, he, you know, he had his it sounds like his SY was one of those visual women that was willing to do that.
Yeah.
But that I would offer her, his relative real life experience maybe is, I would offer it as anecdotal, because I would imagine most of the women would, hey, if I got a choice, I'd rather have that man be involved to where I don't need to rely on this.
Yeah.
Let me,
because we have to consider it's
well,
more than financial strain. You know what I mean? Being a single parent is not just about the money. There's time that's sacrificed. There's figuring out work scheduling. There's so many lifestyle accommodations that have to be made with being a single parent. So to assume that a lot of women are choosing to, you know, have this fallback system for financial assistance, what about everything else that comes with being a single mother?
No, absolutely. Let me get Brother Frank. We got him back in. Let's see if we can hear him now. All right, Brother Frank,
okay,
we got you back in. Hopefully we can hear you now. Go ahead. Let me see if I can hear you, King.
Oh, thank you very much. And I definitely agree with the sister on her point. various, you know, just different parts to this whole conversation. The absent man, I'm very much aware of it. You know, I'm a part of a few organizations that I address this issue, and, you know, I'm very on top of that. Secondly, I have actually adopted about 4 kids right now who have no father.
I love that.
And prior to that, I've been in the youth ministry for a very long time, so I've mentored a lot of these young people. As a matter of fact, I was a father before I became a father biologically. So I'm not just coming out to, you know, make this whole conversation look like, oh, this women choose it. But what I'm saying is I'm currently in Colombia. I was in, when you look at different cultures, I was in Europe. When you look at different cultures and the trend and the environment, you tend to understand certain things. When you go to Europe, for instance, Europe where they have government assistance for single mothers, right? Do you know that even the African marriages are being challenged right now? Even though divorces and separations are not a thing in our culture, when our women move to Europe where they have government assistance for single mothers, they are breaking up with the men and kicking the men out. These are numbers. I'm talking data, okay? The number of relationships from African relationships that have been destroyed because of the Western system, and these same people stick together when they're back home in Africa. So all I'm saying is the environment and the systemic structures in place plays a role. I personally know young women under the age of 35 that have chosen to be single mothers. There was actually a video that from an 8-year-old black girl who was asked in school whether she wanted to get married and have children. This kid at 8 years old said no, she don't want to get married, but she want to have children. And the teacher asked her why, and her reason was, if I get married, I'm not going to get child support. Where did that 8-year-old get this from? Isn't that from home? So yes, the absence of single of fathers exists, but you also have a case where personally,
now,
here
you, brother, let me do this,
was
brother. Let me do this. Now, I really appreciate your call. We're going to dive into what you're saying. I just want to kind of keep moving the conversation. I got some other callers as well,
sure,
but I definitely was glad to get you back in.
Sure,
what
sure.
I'll
I
say
appreciate
is,
that.
You know, I want to be fair to you. You're just really highlighting that there is a backdrop and a role that the system does play, and you're giving
yes.
real-life examples of somebody moving from one culture into another culture to prove that
yes.
the system, in a sense, plays a role. So very fair thought.
Yes.
Thank you for your 3 cents. You can definitely get back in later, but again, I just kind of want to move this particular conversation along, and thank you so much for your 3 cents.
I appreciate that. I'll stay on. I appreciate that.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. So I think his point is very fair. Again, what can we do to support single mothers is really more or less, once I would say, whatever the situation, whether it's one in which, again, only the majority of single mothers are not on government assistance. Because again, we will not have this conversation as if they are, right? So let's be fair.
Right.
Or whatever. So we're going to always be fair in this conversation. But to his point, for those who are, that's kind of an issue. But to your point, Shanae, is there's so many other issues than just that part. So, it would be a grave disservice to this conversation to act as if that's it alone. Soul Scribe, let's get your thought in here. Just a quick thought, because I got to go to another break, and the cut's going to take us in a different direction. But just your quick thought, again, you're navigating this world. I'm pretty sure it ain't just the assistance that's enough or makes this okay. And even for the women that he pointed out that aim for that, again, that's not the majority of our black women. So just a quick thought so we can go to another break, if you will, Queen.
I would also have to agree with your other host, Issa Cheney, and saying that most women I know, and including myself, would rather be in a healthy partnership with the father or with someone who can help us navigate the day-to-day of living and taking care of children and work. And so I think that narrative is a little crazy because most women are romantics and most do. Majority of the women do want to be married and with someone. I think what happens mm-hmm. is the system does provide another option when your relationship fails or it's toxic. I mean, we have more options than the women back in the day, you know, back when in the 50s and you're stuck with someone who's abusive and who's cheating and who's, you know, beating on you. I mean, we don't have to really stay in those situations anymore. We can support ourselves and take care of our children if it comes to that. So,
highlighting that the majority are, even if they, you know, just even talking about government assistance, like most people don't know this, the average person at the most is usually about 2.5 years on it, right? Like only a fourth of people are redundant overusers. Again, that's not the focus. So if you understand that the average person uses it for about 2.5 years, even if that was a point or something that was done, the majority, and speaking of our community, Black women that are in this situation, they are figuring it out on their own without government assistance. So again, that cannot be
that
the focus. We'll be right back. Yep. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you gotta try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I mean, I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try the sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet, like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay, now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com, is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
Where they do statistics and polls on us as a people, just all different types of backgrounds and people, and it is a proven fact, and if you don't know what a fact is, look it up, but it is a proven fact that single mother households produce the worst product.
Facts.
It's a fact.
Fact, yeah.
If you take two-parent households, single father household, single mother household, statistically based on facts,
yep, you're right,
the household with the woman heading it by herself produces the worst product. And for our people, for Black people, for African American people, those single mother households are the reason why prisons are filled with a good majority of our
people. You are 100%
right?
Right.
So these are facts. You sit this on the table. Here go the facts. And then you say, so y'all need to start valuing men being involved in the lives of your children.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make you be with your baby daddy, or we can't say that somebody has to stay with somebody, because we know that children are being born out of situations where the two people aren't healthy together.
Yeah.
But that you having access to a man and a woman during your upbringing needs to be brought back. A lot of these men that you were, you know, when you're referring to, you know, what men are doing with women in relationships, it comes from the fact that they lack a man in their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a good majority of men that walk around and their thinking, their emotional capacity is that of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they ever saw was how to be an adult from a woman.
Yep. I agree with you. And you know, it's so funny. I'm going to jump around a little bit, right? Because this is dope. Because I study the same stuff, right? We know that a child being born into a single-parent household, especially if it's just a woman, right, is more likely to go to jail, more likely to join a gang, more likely to be dependent, more likely to need some form of a therapy, all
yes.
that shit, right?
Oh, my
so,
God.
So we know that. But
welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Soul Scott. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Our special guest is psychotherapist Shanae Benito. I played a cut from Anton Daniel's podcast with his guest Love Dorsey, just so you know who that was talking. And I wanted to go super hard on the stats and how that we hear them all the time. And so I found that cut And here's why I wanted to have the dialogue, because we've heard them time and over again, that type of thing. But the dialogue, when we asked the question this morning, what can we do to support single mothers? Shanae, I'll start with you. I would say part of helping, and I'm pretty sure you maybe have had, maybe, I'm guessing you've had to deal with this with some of your clients, but I would also say part of helping is even having the dialogue about hearing that these type of stats consistently throughout your lives and figuring out a way to navigate it and not receive the stats, whether they're true or not, as some type of a judgment. Like, I would offer that that's part of even navigating a world in which now that we have social media, you could see, you could actually, you know, see this type of stuff even more than when I was growing up, and you might just hear a TV every now and then, if you will. So it's, you're hit with it every day. So in helping a single mother, I would offer having, figuring out how to navigate a world in which these things are said all the time is a way to help, if what I'm saying makes sense. Your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And you're spot on. I mean, reality is when you have these social stigmas and you have these opinions and these messages that are constantly being, you know, forced down the throats of the single mothers, not, of course, it plays on them psychologically and emotionally. Part of what I see a lot of single mothers struggle with in therapy and outside of therapy is the fact that they always feel like they're not doing enough. They always feel judged. I mean, what is it? They're not high-value women, right, because they have kids and they're single. So, yes, the stats definitely play a part. They're facts, right? They're facts, but they're facts for a number of different reasons. I think that a lot of women are doing the best that they can. But that goes back to the initial point I was making about community, and that if we have the reality of knowing that it is a struggle for single mothers to raise, especially young men, we have to have some sort of way of helping them physically as well. I mean, the psychological standpoint are definitely therapy, group therapy, maybe support groups, you know, in general, having some sort of community of women that actually can relate and uplift one another. But from the physical standpoint, filling the void of that absence, more mentors, right? People that step in to actually have a place in these young men's lives so that they do have an example. I mean, I come from the background of believing that children should have two parents. And if they can't have two biological parents, then at least having somebody who comes in and steps in that role of being, you know, an example for that young man. It's a lot of things that women can give as far as nurturing. There's a lot of things we can try to give as far as discipline. But there are some things that I do strongly believe that a man, you know, teaches a boy. Of course, we live in a time now where that there's a whole lot of structure for how that looks. But personal belief, I think that we need to have more people who are willing to spend time with these young men, more examples, and that is the way in which we can help our single mothers. Because if you have a single mother who's working, who's trying to take care of the homework, who's trying to take care of the bills, who's trying to take care of 80 things, and these young men are not only getting, they're lacking some parts of the full nurturing aspect because moms are doing 80 things, and then they're also lacking the masculine role that needs to be played in their lives. I mean, of course we have them at a disadvantage.
No, absolutely. And let me highlight this again. What I would also offer, again, for a mother who finds herself in this situation for whatever reason, the majority of mothers don't even fall into these stats. There are those who do or whatever. So I'm, again, not negating, quote unquote, the stats or the facts, however you want to choose to say that. But I am highlighting that to that part of the mental, psychological aspect for mothers who are not falling into these categories, let it be water off your back because this doesn't fit you anyway. So just from the standpoint of getting into a mental space where, hey, if it don't fit, don't evolve, don't. And I'm not trying to make that simple because it's hard when you hear it all the time, but I am highlighting the understanding of not to even get involved in the dialogue of a situation that's, in a sense, not yours. And even if it is yours, as you said, Shanae, if, in the sense that mother's doing the best that she can to even move out of, you know, maybe the scenario or the stat that just, quote-unquote, hit home, if that's no longer you or you're moving out of it, again, don't accept that stat or fact as a judgment. I'm not saying this is easy to do, but I also think that if you've never heard that or never seen someone like a Shanae or gotten that therapy, it becomes imperative that you understand that you don't, in a sense, need to receive it as such or even set up your life to where you're not even getting access to hearing this type of nonsense when you obviously have a job to do in raising your child. Right. And so that type of stuff doesn't help. But I also think – oh, yeah, please jump in real quick. I got a caller as well, but go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, that we need to do better as a community, though, because, you know, we want it to be water off of their backs. We want them to not, you know, feel as affected by it. But when you are basically being judged by society, it makes it hard not to feel affected. You know what I mean? Like, if there was more empathy in society, and more consideration.
Just real quick, let me highlight this. I want to be real clear on this. Well, I would offer that the reason people are resorting and going to them is that it isn't that they want it to be water off their back. And I'm not saying that my solution is the solution, but I am highlighting that, unfortunately, that the reason they're feeling the judgment, because typically it is there. So I'm not even running from the fact that it is often there. I'm just highlighting a perspective that if they've never heard, that's the position they would kind of, in a sense, have to take, because a lot of people are presenting these things to be judgmental. So I'm just, again, I'm not saying I have it right, but I do want to highlight that, unfortunately, even if someone is using it to be judgmental, I don't have the answer. I would say go to you, because you can help someone navigate how to navigate that. But I also know there's a lot of mothers who've never even heard to you know what I mean, like not to take it in. Like they've never even heard that as a step. So that's all I was kind of highlighting very briefly. Go ahead and finish your thought, then we're going to go to the caller.
No, I love that. I love that. It makes total sense what you're saying. And I do think in cases like that, that is when the therapeutic aspect is good, because we kind of help with cognitive distortions, with not being able to take on those stigmas and those messages and wear that as your identity and to let it get you down. So I love the point that you made. It came full circle for me.
No, it makes sense. All right, let's go to 678, last 3321. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. Last 3321, you're live on the air. I'll give you one more shot. Either we don't hear you or you don't realize you're live. Area code 678, last 3321. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. All right, maybe they don't realize they're live. For the other callers out there, you do have to press 1 if you're trying to join this morning's conversation. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. Someone just pressed the 1 and came back off. Okay, I got you. All right, Frank, I think you want to get back in as well. But let me go to 770, last 3731. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. We got about a minute for break, so make it quick.
Good morning. I'm LaTanya calling from Latonia, Georgia.
Hey, are you, I might let you stay on after the break. How you doing, Queen? Thanks for calling in.
do you need me to wait till after the break or keep going?
Let's just shoot. That way we don't cut you off. Let's just shoot to the break, and then we'll get you your thought coming out of the break. That way. Yeah, I don't want to make you cut your thought off. All right, so we're going to shoot the break just a little earlier, and there's going to be a cut that we'll get into as well, but we want to hear Latonya's thoughts as well. And Brother Frank, I see you're trying to get back in as well. We'll get you back in. All right, y'all, we're going to go to a quick break and continue this morning's discussion. What can we do to support single mothers? We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Actually, this is not a commercial. It's actually a cut, again, that I want to kind of continue this conversation, and let's put some of these stats to rest, matter of fact. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
In jail. 70% of youth and juvenile delinquent facilities come from single mother homes.
80% of all youths in prison are from single mother homes.
If you compare a single mother, there's 80% chance of going to jail.
80% of all prison inmates came from single mother's homes.
I did the research. 80% of black males who are in jail come from single mother homes.
We are filling up these prisons with fatherless kids.
Okay, so we're not sure if it's 70% or if it's 80%, if it represents all prisoners, just young men, or only black men. But what we do know is that prisons are full of young men from single mother homes, and the women folk are to blame for it. And this statistic has been copy-pasted across every website for fathers' rights groups and family law attorneys representing fathers. But notice that it's different. It's 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, not prisoners. But even that claim is wrong. It comes from this 1987 report from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. And it says across all juveniles in state-operated institutions, 70% of them did not come from a two-parent home, which includes single mothers but also single fathers, homes where the child was raised by other relatives, and foster homes. In fact, single parents were only 54%, and of that, 48.4% were single mother households. But it's important to remember that this is 35-year-old data about juveniles in juvenile institutions, not prisons. And they only surveyed about 10% of juveniles, so while it might be indicative, it should not be taken as a concrete fact. Now, the statistics on inmates are actually fairly easy to get, thanks again to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. And in 2002, they showed that the number of offenders from single mother homes actually dropped from 41 to 39% and went back up in 2016 to 41.1%. Meanwhile, homes with a father represented 40.7% of all offenders. It's almost neck and neck. So while prisons may not be overflowing with offenders from single mother households, it does represent an elevated risk about 2 to 3 times. And since your lifetime incarceration risk is about 5%, what that means is instead of 70% of children raised by single mothers going to jail, actually well over 80% will avoid ever seeing a jail. Okay, but that still means that single moms offer the worst outcomes, right? Well, studies have also looked at incarceration rates for different household types. And they did again find that 3 times risk for single mother households. And you can see that when we adjust for social, educational, and economic disparity, that risk drops to about 2 times. But before single fathers start to crow about this, look what happens when dad gets a new partner. They offer some of the worst outcomes. And when we remove the economic advantage that single fathers often have, you can see that single fathers with a new partner offer the worst outcomes, beating out single mothers with stepfathers, and even children not raised by either parent. So if we really care about childhood outcomes, we need to be teaching men not to ignore their children the minute a new woman shows up. And even if we just want to focus on improving the outcomes for single mother households, then we need to talk about what causes them, which is absentee fathers. Because absentee fathers are a huge problem. Anywhere between a fifth and a quarter of all fathers have no contact with any of their children. And this is often framed as, oh, my baby mother or my B of an ex-wife doesn't let me see the kids. But that's also not true, because when we look only at men with high levels of custody, 40%, almost half of those who start out with weekly contact, virtually abandon their children within 8 years, having little to no contact. And studies have looked into the risk factors for father abandonment, and found that once again, top of the list is fathers who have a new partner. And if they have a child with that new partner, then virtually all of them abandon their previous children. So if we really care about improving childhood outcomes, then we need to stop talking about single mothers and instead talk about the disgusting attitudes and behaviors in fathers that treat their children as disposable.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Soul Scribe. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Our special guest is psychotherapist Shanae. Again, let's put some of these stats to rest as it breaks down perspective-wise that stat that people have been running with for years literally comes from a 35-year-old study, and the data definitely looks very different when you actually start cross-referencing against more current data and actual family makeup. So not only, if I could say this today before we go back to Latonya, not only am I, you know, offering that, hey, single mothers don't receive these as such. You know, when I say don't receive it as such, don't even take the stats you just learned to go have a back and forth to prove them wrong. Like, let it go. Because it's right. Not the space. Because what happens is, here's the mistake. People even have good intentions sometimes with sharing the stats. I've shared the stats. I got so thankful for one of my members, and this is why I have the smartest audience in the community club that I have, that came from Shout out to Michelle. She sent me that some weeks ago. I forgot exactly what prompted her to send it to me. But the beauty of it is having an audience that, in a sense, not only wants to get the facts, but I'm also highlighting ultimately that even people using the stats incorrectly, unknowingly, or even if they're accurate with good intentions, there is this concept that we actually think the blame game will lead to better behavior. It is a complete waste of time, and I'm highlighting that even with these, you know, more congruent, more, I would say, comprehensive stats that you just heard, again, it's not a space to go back and forth. It's understand the stats for what they are, and let's culturally help out not only single mothers but the entire culture so that we can improve the culture to negate these stats regardless of whether we like them or not. The stats have a place. They highlight trends, but they are not the end-all, be-all. As much as I love stats, I like to make people clear and understand. I've always understood stats are for trending situations, and you have to look into a lot to even know if a stat is worth putting out publicly. So I've got on my little soapbox with that. Let's go back to Latonya. Thank you, Queen, for calling in. Give us your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Thank you. I feel like there was some divine intervention in us taking that, going to that clip before I spoke, because a lot of what was said in there was some of what I wanted to bring out. I'm going to try to make it concise because there's so much in this conversation that I'd like to address. But first, I'm going to put out there that I am probably an anomaly because I was raised by a single father who did his thing to raise me in the most sweet way that he could. And made sure that I understood the nurturing, that I understood both perspectives the best that he could. Of course, he had help from my grandmother, who also, you know, put some of that nurturing side in me. But I'm coming from a position different than where a lot of women are coming from, and I think that might help in the perspective that I'm about to give. First, I'm going to try and make these just kind of facts, and you can touch them all as you want to when I'm done. The first part that I wanted to say is there's a lot of help in trying to get the funds from the dads, and I would like to suggest that what society or what government or whomever we go to for this assistance needs to probably put in something that gets the fathers to be required to spend the time that they quote-unquote fight for in the courts. I hear men saying, the mom keep me from my kids and so on and so forth. And one of the points that you just had in that clip was, that you just made, you get all these rights written when you go through the divorces. And I'm a single mom of three women, girls, young women. You get all the rights, but then you don't, or you fall back on exercising or choosing, because it is a choice to exercise those rights. So you see that fathers fall off. They don't take the weekends. They don't take the summers. They don't take the holidays. And part of that is because they are either moving on or because there's some shame. I don't know why it is, but we need to find a better way to enforce that, just the same way as we are able to enforce child support, because money is not always the factor. Second, I'd like to say that for the single moms, we ask for how we should support them. That first point I made is probably the most tactical, but from a personal point of view and the stigma, there are single moms like myself that are doing everything that we can do for our children and giving them the most opportunity possible, but we are struggling for ourselves, right? So if we're giving everything we can give, there is no space for us to have personal space. There is sort of a shame or guilt in taking time or resources away from raising our children in order to have personal time. And you know, if you want to make it real elementary, I'm talking simple things like taking some time off and not devoting that to the children. I'm talking about trying to figure out how to have a dating life when you're of healthy age, trying to figure out how to navigate that without the guilt of taking time away from the children, and making sure that the people that you are choosing to bring into your life are worthy, are the right type of people to have around your children. Very hard to do and, you know, even having mom groups or mentoring groups, there's still some guilt that comes along with, I'm going to take time away from my kids, put them in a different place so that I can have private time. That comes with a lot of guilt. And since we cannot get partnership from the fathers to ask them to spend time where a mother can have downtime, it becomes a problem. And what that does additionally for women who are raising daughters is it shows them, okay, you can't have relationship if you are a single mom. Mm-hmm. So now I have young ladies who are saying, I'm not having kids because that's all there is now. There is no space for me to have a life. So on the other side, where you have people saying, I'm going to have kids for the money, my babies aren't struggling financially. What they're struggling with is, if I have kids, and even if I'm with this person for 20 years, if that breaks up, that man can go have a life. That man can go make another family. But me as the single mom, this is all I'm going to have until my children are out the house. So that,
wow,
those two resources are what I think single moms that are not after the financial need or not after the financial gain, that's the support we need. We need to find a way to have these fathers be involved for not only the benefit of the children, but also for the sanity of us moms who are doing all we can do to make sure that these young ladies have every opportunity that they can.
Latonya, I love this. I mean, this is 4 cents. This is not 3 cents that you just gave us. And I want to jump right to Shaday and as well as SoulScribe. I just want to highlight, keep reiterating this in the dialogue. What you just heard is what the majority of our black single mothers are experiencing. I'm not making this up again. I'm very particular about verbiage and what I say. Again, someone who loves stats, but I just wanted to highlight again how this is a reminder of what we mentioned earlier. So for everyone that leans on the stats, but as she just said, on the opposite end, I want the opposite end of those who are looking for government assistance or using it in some type of way that is not advantageous for their children, even if you will. Again, those women do exist. I want to highlight the story you just heard is what the majority of our black women experience. And so let's lose that BS narrative and let's talk about this reality she just laid out. Go ahead, Shanae. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then I'll go to SoulScribe. Thank you so much, Tony, for your 3 cents. I'm going to say 4 cents this morning. Thank you so much. Again. A lot to discuss. And I do agree, divine intervention with the timing of that, because we couldn't have cut what you just said short. So that was perfect. Go ahead, Shanae. Tony, if you want to get back in, come off the one and come back on. But I'm going to go ahead and get Shanae's thoughts. SoulScribe, we got a couple of minutes, so we might have to get your thoughts out of the break. But go ahead, Shanae. Thank you so much, Latonya, for that 4 cents.
I am so glad that she said that, because there is so much focus on the financial aspect of it, but that's what I was mentioning earlier. Like, the burnout rate for single black mothers is ridiculous, and that is something that is a prevalent topic whenever I do the single mother support groups. And even in individual sessions with single mothers, it's always that guilt about taking time for themselves. Like, when I mention self-care, their eyes, like, open wide, like, what is that? Like, who has time for self-care? But the reality is, I like to tell moms, kids do not need happy moms. They don't need perfect moms. They don't need rich moms. They need healthy moms. And in order for you to be healthy, there has to be time management somehow. There has to be taking time for yourself. And in that, you find happiness. You find an example for those kids. Because when you're stressed out, there isn't a lot of time. You're agitated. You're short. It's like you feel guilty, but where is the joy for the single mom? It's like there's no time for you. And that in itself causes things like anxiety, depression. We lead to so many issues. That's why postpartum is the way that it is. People come out, they have newborn babies, especially if they're doing it by themselves. And it's like, I can barely think. I'm stressed. people with older children, like she was just mentioning having three girls, like, you know, trying to figure out to take time for yourself, there's an attachment of guilt with that. And I would say the priority is, yes, our kids, but first ourselves and figuring out how that can look. That is one reason why I am a mental health advocate. And I do, you know, stand for therapy, because when you do have a good therapist, they can kind of help you first handle that guilt, where that stems from. You know what I mean? Working with breaking that down.
Makes a lot of sense. We're at the top of the hour. Let me go to this break, and we'll continue this conversation. Definitely want to get Soul Scribe's thoughts on what she heard. And there's another aspect that Latonya brought out that I would love to highlight, what she talked about, you know, in a sense, her daughter's navigating the world now, and they're actually choosing the opposite of what we typically hear, because they just saw what she went through as their mother. Like, that's a natural response. I don't want my life.
Children, they see kids as a burden.
You know what my mother did. Yeah, I absolutely could understand that perspective, so I'm glad she brought it to the table. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
What's up with you, dog? Everything, man. Straight up, though, me and my girl, we about to have our first child, and I think she's losing her mind, boy.
For real? Y'all been going through it?
Yeah, to a degree, but real talk, she just stressing way too much and stay worrying about how we going to raise this child, man. Like, I try to reassure her, but her anxiety got her on tilt, boy.
Yeah, stressing too much can't be a good thing during pregnancy. But hey, I remember hearing about this dope psychotherapist on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, Sinead Benito. She is starting a mental health and new mothers online support group. You should enroll your girl.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know what I'm saying? But therapy is kind of expensive, right?
No, it's only $15 a session.
$15? What I need to do to sign up?
Go to her website, SineadBenito.com, and hit the drop-down box for group therapy, and you will see the mental health and new mothers class.
Hold up. What's the website again? And spell it for me.
SineadBenito.com. S-H-A. N-A-E, B as in boy, E-N-I-T-O.com.
Bet that.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Soul Scribe. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Our special guest, Sinead Benito, surprise your dad, definitely supported you, queen, and got the promo.
I love it.
I wanted to surprise you on the show to let you know your dad. I'm not, no surprise when I said it was for you. He reached in his pocket so fast and said, let me put this promotion on this thing to highlight not only are you a psychotherapist dealing with single mothers on a regular basis, but you also have an upcoming support group that is, absolutely need to highlight that resource, if you will. So if you could just even go there, and we'll talk about it a little more in the show as well. But if you could just, one, again, I wanted to surprise you with the promo, but just talk about that briefly, and I definitely want to hear Soul Scribe's thoughts to what our caller, Latonya, had to say in the last cut. For the other callers, y'all have to press one. I see a lot of you out there. But if you're listening, you have to press 1 if you want to join us. But, again, just wanted to highlight and surprise you with your dad supporting you with the promotion.
Yes, I love that so much. Thank you, Dad. That was so, so, so sweet. I was sitting here listening like, what psychotherapist is he talking about? And he has me on here today. And no, I'm just kidding. But no, that was so cool. No, I'm just kidding. I kid. But no, the group is coming up on the 13th. It is a virtual group that I've structured for new mothers. I found that I love helping the single mothers. But a lot of what they go through, I feel like, you know, if they had some assistance in the early stages, even while pregnant or when they first had their kids, you know, it might be a little bit easier as the kids become older. So we focus on a lot of things, trying your hardest to avoid postpartum depression, adapting to being a new mother, what time management can kind of look like, structure if you have it, whether you're a single mom or not. So many deep things that we'll get into, because the hope is that if we can cut down on the rates of depression skyrocketing with these new babies, then we can have healthier kids coming up and we can have more sound and happy, healthier moms. So that's primarily what the group is about. We're trying to be on the preventative end and opposed to having to be reactive when things go bad later.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And again, we're going to share the details. Again, ShaneeBonito.com. That's simple for anybody catching it right now or just hearing us, but we'll go into some more details later in the show. Soul Scribe, I am very interested in hearing your 3 cents to what our last caller, the Tanya, had to say. But thank you for your patience, Queen, but go ahead.
Oh, yes, no problem, no problem. I'm really loving the conversation. There are some really great points being brought up, and there's so much to unpack. But I will try to share one experience I had was the whole self-care aspect and feeling guilty about taking time and, you know, you barely have any. And, you know, when I was married, there was a time where I had gotten a membership to Massage Envy, and I hid it from my husband because I didn't want him to know, and I thought he might think I'm, you know, wasting money. And, you know, it was like, I need this. I work hard. I travel all the time. You know, I've got my son. I've got my husband. And there's always this stigma in the Black community about self-care and taking, you know, time. And a comment he made to me was, why do you need a massage? My mother has never had a massage in her life. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I think that a lot of Black men are used to seeing Black women struggle and hold the house down and do whatever they got to do and work themselves to death, that is the norm. And, okay, she can handle it. She's a Black woman. And a lot of children are being raised by single, you know, Black women or a group of other Black women. And so I think there is some normalcy that has been affiliated with that, and that Black men did just say, okay, well, Black women, and we are pretty, you know, freaking awesome, but we make it happen, we get it done, but at what expense? And you know, Black women, the number one killer of us is what, heart disease, right? Because we are taking on everything, and that, you know, learning that self care is so important. And another quick point I want to make is, of course, I'm an advocate for mental health. Mental health is, I feel like, one of the biggest problems in the Black community. And hearing, you know, about the, you know, men walking away and doing different things like that and not showing up for their children, I feel like a lot of it is mentally from the mental health aspect, and that they are not getting the care that they need and they are not taking the initiative. Even if there are free resources, a lot of them won't even take advantage of that. And so I think if we could tackle that, if the government somehow implemented that into maybe their child support laws or rules, that could maybe lessen the time for like missing payments. Okay, you don't have the money, but how many group sessions have you been to work on your mental health in the meantime? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if there was some sort of reward or some sort of action for taking care of your mental health, that the government, because there are a lot of Black men struggling with mental health, and that a lot of times is the biggest problem. They can't get outside their own heads. They feel hopeless, or they're struggling financially and they're ashamed, and it just all topples down on them, and they don't know what to do. And they don't have the push or drive or desire to even get out of that state or that funk. So that's just a little bit. I don't want to keep going on too much, but there's so much.
That's another great point, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Go ahead, Shanae, if you want to say something, go ahead.
No, I just was saying to her that's another great point. I think when it comes down to it, mental health is everything. How we see ourselves, how we see the world, it determines everything. And I really like what she said about maybe somehow tying that into the system if possible, because I think for men, sometimes in these cases, you know, when you walk away from the woman, especially if it is a situation where, you know, it was messy or you didn't want to become a father, I think that's another thing to consider. There are some men who didn't want the baby, right? And so when they walk away from the situation with the mother, there's automatically sometimes a negative feeling about even raising a child that you didn't want to have with a woman you didn't plan to have the child with. So if we did have systems in place that kind of help the men, you know, deal with that mentally, and sometimes they feel as if their rights were taken away or, you know, their voice was taken away, to just kind of help reframe and restructure the thought processes and kind of deal with the deeper issues and them wanting to be present, I think that is another great place to start. I do think that would be great if we had something like that in the system. Love that point.
Great point. Let me finally get Brother Frank. He's been on. I think he was trying to get back in this thing, too, so let me get him back in here as well. All right, Brother Frank, I think you were trying to get back in. If I'm wrong, I don't, you know, forgive me, but I think you kind of tried to pop back in. We're just not getting back to you. But go ahead, King.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Very great points, good information. I'm personally gone past the, you know, the root cause to, you know, the symptomatic you know, way of looking at this issue. How can we help? Now, let's get to it. And I always like to, you know, walk in the very practical shoes and be able to, you know, use myself as an example. I have stepped in to help out with single mothers, and these are some of the challenges. The government, you know, programs, it's so standardized that, you know, whatever they're going to get is whatever they're going to get. But when it comes to you asking me as a man as to what can I do to help out, number one, I'm not just going to be a role model for your child. I'm not just going to be the one that is going to be supporting financially. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be supporting with my time, but I'm also going to play a role as a father. And one of the challenges that I have run into is that the same reasons why these fathers are not around is the same reasons, is the same challenges that I run into personally. What are some of the challenges? If I come into a child's life and want to be that father, I am going to discipline the child. I am going mm-hmm. to correct the child. Mm-hmm. I am going to, as a matter of fact, I'm actually going to correct you as the mother. What am I talking about? I've had cases where the mother smokes weed around the child. I told them, I said, if you want me to be a part of this kid's life, I don't want you to smoke around the child. And this has been a challenge for her because she, number one, thinks I'm against smoking weed. No, I'm not against you smoking weed. But you cannot be smoking around the child. And this woman is not willing to give up that lifestyle or behavior for her child. So I have to let that go. I have another kid that I you know, adopted, not legally, but I've been a part of his life, you know, paying for his school programs and all of that. I put him through college. He goes to Morgan State right now. And I realized that the way he was raised as a boy by a mother needs to be corrected from things that he's been asking me. And I'm like, no, dude, you're not about to be asking me to be giving you money for this and that. And the mom was not happy with that. I'm giving you how I was raised. We give you what you need first before we give you what you want. All right, so I'm making sure his needs are met. He's not my child, but I've stepped in to help out. I'm not talking about not just my time, but my money and everything. And because I'm not giving the kid some of the things that he wants that I think doesn't make any sense, the mother doesn't,
you know, agree with me and wasn't really happy about it. Mm-hmm. So my point is, if I'm going to answer the question about how I can help, some of them, there's a lot of challenges because it's not just happy about me giving you money. I want to make sure that this case come out to a point where I can be proud, look back and say, oh, I was a part of this case life. But the challenge
is you were able to put your imprint.
Some of these women are stuck in the same way. Why this man ran away and it's difficult. Yeah, thank you.
No, I absolutely love it. I love your point, and we can definitely dive into that as well. And let me highlight this as we go to break. Sorry about the break, brother, but thanks for getting back in with us as well. What I think Frank's point is extremely fair in the dialogue because a lot of us as African-American men, this is something that also goes gets missed. If I can highlight one of the stats that was said that is correct about 20 to 25% of men are 20 to 25% of fathers are not involved in their children's lives at all. Unfortunately, again, that's still a high number. But I'm highlighting 75% are, if you will, involved in some way. But to Frank's point, and I always highlight this, there are lots of men's groups, plenty of here in Atlanta, but throughout different cities in the country, in which I see many of great fathers who do try to extend themselves, maybe not to the extent that Frank does, because again, he's adopted children and done all the things he just shared with us. But for the most part, good brothers understand, in a sense, the crisis in our community with lack of a village, if you will. And so many men do step up to go beyond the capacity of just their own children. That doesn't get highlighted enough. But to his point, this is, and again, I want to hear your thoughts on this today after this break. But to his point, that stepping in to, in a sense, help and be, as he said, not just a role model, but help with the raising of this child that I'm mentoring, a lot of times it is everything that she's going through, having to trust, can I really trust this man to do this? And a lot of times, sometimes men are saying, well, I can't be involved unless I'm able to put my imprint. And I think that's something that has to be understood for even a single mother seeking a man to help, if that makes sense. So I love this point. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
I'm going to translate for you. She's mad because every 6 months you want to roll up in here and tell people what to do. Well, this is a 24/7 job. Mm. Do you understand me? I don't care what you think about her. This woman, the mother of your child, she is a damn good mother. Whether she's sick, when she's tired, when she just plain old don't feel like it, she don't have anybody to pass the baton to. Nobody here to pass it to. She's the first one up in the morning and the last one to go down at night. She's the mother, the father, the doctor, the nurse, the chauffeur, the therapist. And if she decides to leave her son behind and go chase after her dream, well, don't they be here? So you may not like her, but you damn sure gonna respect her, and you are gonna thank her, because without her, you couldn't do what you're doing. And you, Destiny, having that baby didn't keep him. Yelling and screaming and embarrassing yourself in front of people, that's not gonna bring him back. Baby, he gone. He don't want you no more. You got to let him go. Caribbean solutions. Those were not bad ideas. Yes, me and Bill, we'll take him. And don't be mad because he can't take him. He's not here, but we are, and that is our deal. Baby, I know you're mad. Come on. And although you got every right to be mad, you are aiming it at the wrong. You're aiming it at the wrong people.
That's it. Okay.
Bill, I need to just lay down for a minute.
Come on. I'll go and get Deontay. Welcome back to the Mitchell Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Special guest co-host, Soul Scribe, and special guest mental health therapist Shanae Pedito. As we play a cut we've played on the show from the show Love Is, really speaks highly in a sense to the dynamic, and it actually plays a little into what Frank just called back in to talk about. I hope people pretty much caught the context. I played a lot of the clip on purpose, but the context is I can't think of the actor's name that we heard in that spot, but, you know, beautiful actor. But she was just highlighting that in that scenario that, hey, the father's kind of out pursuing his dreams. They're going to take on the role while he's out doing that to take care of, you know, in a sense, his son, Deontay. And it was clearly a situation in which, you know, in a sense, the mother, the child, that caused the scene, was super upset. And so she kind of lays it out about the respect he has to have, because she doesn't, as y'all have highlighted throughout this show, that opportunity when you're the single mother doing it all, there's so much that is, that just kind of is not recognized and not respected. And I can only imagine what that feels like if it is, in a sense, the father of your child who should be the co-parent but is acting like what we heard in that scenario. Soul Scribe, just kind of want to hear your thoughts. A lot captured in that, but I think it has to be part of the dialogue for mothers. What does it look like in the event that, you know, that man is not going to be there in a way that you might like?
Wow, I love that clip so much. I'm sorry.
I thought I was catching some feedback. I don't know if it's, I was making sure we're good now. It's gone. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. I agree 1,000% with what she was saying in that clip. In fact, I was dating someone who was calling the mother of their children their baby mama, and I just feel like women also have a responsibility to other women to correct, you know, some of these men and the things that they are doing. And that's where we can help and support each other in the dynamic between, you know, mother, you know, women without the father involved. And I told him for a long time, every time he said baby mama, I corrected him. Every time he tried to disrespect that woman and talk bad about her, I corrected him. Because that woman is taking care of your children who you are not with and who you are not taking care of because of whatever reasons or excuses that you have. And I don't even want a man particularly who is not taking care of their children. I think when more women are demanding of that from some of the men or all of the men that they are dealing with, that's so important, and it could really do a lot for our community. You know, I even asked him for a while, I was like, well, where are your kids? You know, we're dating, we've been together this month. Where are your kids? Where are they? Why aren't they here? Why don't I see you? So we have to have those difficult conversations. And he even told me that I was taking sides with the mother of his children or baby mama, what he wanted to call her. So I'm not taking sides with the woman. I've never even met her. I understand. I know what goes into the day-to-day. I want you to look at her in a different way. You're not going to disrespect that woman in my presence. And so I think we have to be more demanding of the conversations and the direction that a lot of
people will try to paint a picture, a bad picture of the mother of the children. I don't care what happens. The priority is your child or those children. And so let's find a solution to that. I don't want to hear the drama, the fighting, the bickering and all of that. So I think other women can really help to push it into a positive way as well, and teaching some of the men who have taken on this type of dialect, about the conversations of parenting. And
no, absolutely. I mean, let me jump in and let Shanae jump in as well. And I'll just highlight that, you know, if I could wave a magic wand, the scenario that unfortunately is prevalent, you know, again, not the majority, but again, prevalent in our community is the situation, as Shanae promptly pointed out in the first hour, just in case you just joined in, 57% of our children are growing up without their biological father in the home. Now, that is the correct number, and I love the fact that she brought it to the table. So it is prevalent in our community. That is a reality. One thing that, you know, I know Brother Frank personally or whatever, and this is something I know he would agree with, he's still listening, is, you know, to your point, Soul Scribe, for men, again, kind of sometimes could just kind of be black and white with things. And so he would agree with this is, you know, we wish that men who are not taking care of their children, if they're in that 57%, right, they're not in the home, you know, we absolutely wish, and again, not that it's not the majority of the 57% that are not either, let me be clear in my numbers, but for the men who are in that 50%, not 57% that are not in the home, we absolutely wish that a man who's not doing his part with his child outside the home, we wish all the women would deny them any access to them, because it makes no sense that you're willing to deal with a man who, if you're potentially going to date and potentially could possibly have children with, that you would deal with him and he's not. So even in those stats earlier in the show in which a man no longer stays involved once the new girl shows up, I absolutely wish the new girl would stand up to that degree, like, oh, you're not involved? Because I can say for my own life, my father, when he first got married the first time, that's when I saw him the most, thanks to, you know, at the time, my first stepmom. And it was vital to my own life. Go ahead, Shanae.
I mean, everything that you guys have said so far, I definitely agree with. I think that from another standpoint, I think that that is another reason why the mental health is so important for the mothers, because even that kind of weighs on a person emotionally and psychologically. Like the fact that there might be another person in the father's lives who are condoning or, you know, persuading them to stay away or, you know, not really putting the pressure on them to step up to the plate and be present for their kids. That is another layer of things that single mothers do struggle with. To Frank's point that he made about, you know, men who do want to step up to the plate and play that role or be that example, but the moms make it hard. I would just ask men like Frank who are listening, try to still have a level of patience and a level of empathy, because in a lot of cases, those mothers are in protective mode. You know what I mean? And they've been raising these kids by themselves. It is hard trusting. It is hard having, men around children who you are still getting to know. So please keep advocating and keep trying to fight to be there, because, you know, those kids do need that example. And for the moms, I would just encourage to, you know, take full accountability and responsibility for your mental health too. If you do have people who are trying to show up and who do want to be there, you know, it is important that we kind of work to break down some of those layers and some of that shell, because, you know, we don't want to take our past traumas and our past issues and bring them and project them onto somebody in the present who's trying to be there. So that's another reason why, you know, the whole psychological thing is really important, because you can take what happened in one situation and project some of those things onto the next person. So mental health at the forefront of everything. How we think is the reality that we create.
And I would love to also make another point if I have a moment.
Yeah, let me do this. Let me go to this break, okay. And then have you make it after the break, if you don't mind.
Okay, thank you.
Getting a little feedback again. I'm not quite certain what's creating that, so I don't know if somebody's maybe sitting differently. All right, it's gone now. All right, just kind of calling it out, trying to make sure it's clear for the listeners. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Thanks to Ship and Share Wines for being one of our sponsors. Speaking of wine, if you are in the Atlanta area, we are going to be starting a book exchange and wine club here in the next few weeks. So go to mentaldialogue.com to get stay up on everything that's happening within the community club. Again, this show is an extension of our actual club where we dialogue and connect. We have the conversations every Saturday. We have them live in person. But the ultimate reason we do this is to do business with each other. So the Book Exchange and Wine Club will also be an opportunity to enjoy. You can bring your favorite book, but it'll be a great way to meet new people and end up doing business with each other. So there is a purpose more so than just dialoguing. It's to dialogue and connect. With that said, my special guest co-host, Soul Scribe, wanted to continue and had a thought on this morning's discussion question. What can we do to support single mothers? Go ahead with your thought, Queen.
Yeah, something else I wanted to touch on was being a single mother and the responsibilities of raising a son. Too many times I have run into situations where, you know, sometimes I'm dating someone maybe younger, and we pull up to the gas pump, and they're sitting there. They're not moving to either take their seatbelt off, or they look at the gas pump like it's a foreign object. It's teaching our sons at an early age what it's like to have, you know, different life skills and to know kind of how to how to operate in dating and how and their views as a man and in a relationship or pursuing a woman. I just feel like sometimes the life skills and responsibilities become so hard on a lot of, especially younger men these days, that they just feel like they should just walk away, or it's just overwhelming for them because they were babied at home or they didn't get any direction from their fathers. And so I think as single mothers, that is another way that we help, you know, other women in the future, you know, by making sure that our sons know, my son knows how to do laundry. My son knows how to cook. My son knows, you know, how to use a credit card and, budgeting. And there's so many things that are missed out, especially because we are doing so much and sometimes we miss those things. But making sure that our sons are going to be valuable and functioning society in a healthy way, in a positive way, is very important.
Hey, was you here in my apartment last night? Because how did you know that what you just said fits right where I'm about to go? Because, you know, I did, you know, let me highlight some of my own, you know, pop my collar a little bit. I did drop my book, Re-Education of the Negro, back in March, Necessary Conversations on Race, Sex, and Culture. And I'm about to share a piece with both of you ladies that speaks to what you just talked about. And, again, this is our opportunity for those who haven't. Definitely highly recommend go see the show. Listen to the show if you do have Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all streaming platforms, Mental Dialogue. You can find us, but go listen to the show, Re-Education of the Negro, and you constantly will hear how to use my book. It's not a book you just simply read. You share a commentary and have a dialogue, and I wanted to do that. And ironically, the title of this commentary that I'm going to share with both of you and get your thoughts. I got a couple of discussion questions, so that's how this segment goes. But it's literally sisters raise your sons too, and you were just making that point, so subscribe. So pretty dope. All right, but anyway, let me take a few minutes, read this, and we'll answer these questions to finish this segment up. The piece is called Black Socrates Speaks, Sisters Raise Your Sons Too. My mother had me at 14 years old at a time when teenage pregnancy wasn't all that common, especially in the southern region known as the Bible Belt. As a matter of fact, our church had my mother, while pregnant at 13 years old, go before the congregation to confess and ask the church for forgiveness. Lord help them. My paternal mother suggested that my father, 17 years old at the time, and mother marry as a consequence. However, my parents were part of the second generation of students experiencing integration with the so-called opportunity to further their education. My grandmother stepped in and said no. Plus, she knew they were not ready for marriage. This was 1973, in the beginning of what I call the fatherless generation, meaning the point at which out-of-wedlock births surpassed marriage births with a father at home to help raise the child. Consequently, when asking the question, what does it take to make a black man commit today, we must recognize that most single black men today grew up without an example in the household to guide them. With that in mind, let's examine the results of the fatherless generation and its effects on available black men committing to and taking on the responsibility of exclusive relationships or marriage with available black women. Single mothers would typically do a great job preparing their daughters to be responsible adults. This in part is because they are women themselves, and in part because they are unfortunately aware of the possibility that their daughters may also raise children on their own one day. One might think these single mothers would raise their young sons to be more responsible than their fathers, who may or may not be around. Although all too often, a young single mother treats her son like the man of the house prematurely by cooking and cleaning for him in ways she never would for her daughter. All the while, our hypersexual society continues to encourage young boys to sow their proverbial wild oats. If that results in another teenage pregnancy, his single mother, prematurely a grandmother, steps up to take on her son's responsibility, allowing him to live his own life. Now we have a so-called man who expects women to cook and clean for him, just as his mother did, without having any real responsibilities. This is not an indictment on single mothers, but rather an honest assessment of how this vicious cycle continues to churn out boys/men who never understand the responsibilities of a commitment to a child and a woman. Now, my wonderful mother didn't raise me to be the man of the house and made sure I had plenty of chores, including getting my own meals. She did the best she could with the sowing the wild oats part, but at least drove it in my head not to bring any babies home while under her roof. She disapproved of me having sex as a teenager, but educated me and provided me with condoms as soon as she found out I was having sex. As her only child, my mother was determined that I not become a teenage father. She made it abundantly clear that if I had any children before marriage, the responsibility would be mine and mine only. Thanks to my mother, I'm a 48-year-old single black man who has never been married and has no children. Some people ask, what am I waiting for? So I tell them it is not easy navigating this field of new age independent women who don't need a man. Looks like the daughters could use a daddy too. Just my 3 cents. All I ask is that you think. Sinead, your first response to hearing that commentary.
Wow.
I like why. Why? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more. Hey, flattery is always welcome. So.
That is so funny. No, but really, it's a lot of great thoughts. I speak on the last point that you made, the first that comes to mind, obviously, about, you know, girls obviously needing a father, too. I mean, when you think about it, a lot of things in society. Can you guys hear my daughter in the background speaking to kids?
No, we don't hear it. It's okay if we do. We welcome children on the show. There's no problem. Go ahead. Good.
For sure. But a lot of things in general, we do. It's like the whole nature versus nurture. So you do, you know, pick up a lot of what you're brought up around. And so for the girls, if you are seeing your moms doing it on their own, like LaTanya referenced earlier with 3 girls, right? Like you're seeing what your mom is going through. So inadvertently, those girls are more than likely picking up the fact that they might not need a man to do things, right? Like she's successfully raising 3 girls. Financially, she said there's no strain. So, you know, you have that mindset that's already being adopted, especially if their fathers aren't present. That's one layer of it. So, yeah, perhaps we can still as single mothers make sure that we are instilling the values in our daughters and understanding, like, this is not an ideal situation. This is not something that you want to be doing. However, this is something that I have the responsibility of doing, so I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability. But as a community, we still need to place value on Black families, whether that's in raising girls or boys. And for single mothers who are raising our boys, you know, I agree with everything that you said, but I do think there's also a lot of importance that still needs to be placed on a male presence. Because, yes, we can raise our Black boys to be responsible, to understand duties, to understand how to be, you know, do the manly things and all of that good stuff as much as we possibly can. But the reality is a lot of boys learn from men. Statistically, they learn better from male example. And so, you know, you can pour as much into them as you possibly can as a woman. Reality speaks that there needs to be some form of example. Kids need to see what Black love looks like. They need, even if it's not necessarily with their biological mom. And one of the stats in your example that you read, you know, in households where boys are being raised or kids are being in with stepmom, right, that the fathers then go forth and move on to these new families and don't take care of the kids. So we still have to have a joint effort in raising these boys. Mothers can do the best that they can, but the boys need the examples, period.
No, I love it. And for anybody out there listening, Reeducation of the Negro is available on Amazon.com. If you're in Atlanta, you can get it from your boy directly. But each commentary, some of them have discussion questions, and you pretty much answered the first discussion question, so I'm just going to read the question. Again, this is just kind of teaching people that this book is not whether you agree with me and my thoughts in the commentary. It's really to create dialogue, as we're doing right now. And so I won't have both of you answer the question because I feel like you are inherently already answered it, but just to share, again, how the book is to be used. So one of the first discussion questions, Isaac P. says, do some mothers love their sons so much they fail to teach them how to treat women? Or is the lack of a male presence the most prominent reasons sons listen to their peers over their mothers? And I feel like what you just laid out, Shanae, answers that question already. And so I'll just kind of go to question number two and have SoulScribe answer this question. Again, this is a question, you know, this is a question as a part of that commentary. It says, when mothers and fathers push their daughters to be independent, is this helpful or detrimental to their future relationships? What are your thoughts on that question, Soswat?
I don't think it's detrimental to their relationships. I believe that everyone should learn how to be independent and fully functioning adults in society, so that they can take care of themselves and take care of the people that they love. So I don't see anything wrong with that. And I definitely feel like it is still great to incorporate a two-parent household if that is possible. I would never negate that or to do away with the presence of a father. In fact, my son, when I was divorced, my son is being raised by his father, who was doing an amazing job in teaching him how to, you know, be a responsible young man so that he could take care of, you know, himself and take care of me. So, and not me, but take care of women. And so, you know, I don't feel like that's a bad thing to teach them how to be independent. But just knowing that there is nothing wrong with having a partner and the value in having a partnership is you know, also important for some people.
All right. Appreciate your 3 cents. And so I'll say this, and I want to hear your thoughts on this question as well, today. So I hear what you're saying, so Scribe, I would describe it as, I would highlight that I think what you're definitely advocating is self-sufficiency. I think all parents, in a sense, want their children to be self-sufficient. I would highlight in 2023, in a sense, the push to be independent and the way that term has been used is detrimental to the perspective of relationships. And I see, in a sense, as I said in the question, single mothers and single fathers literally aiming to make sure, in a sense, that their daughters specifically don't need a man. I'm not saying that that's the ultimate goal, but the way that it's taught. And even fathers trying to make sure that their daughters not dependent, because men, you know, we definitely don't want to, in a sense, choosing one of these you know, these cats who ain't going to handle their business, right? But we think, let's position her so she don't even need one of them cats. Matter of fact, if she don't need one, that better positions her. So I would highlight that that's a part of the dynamic as well, at least from my perspective. Your thoughts, Sinead?
I like what SoulScribe was saying. I get what you're saying about the independent aspect of it. I think there's still, at least in my mind, there's a difference between independence and maybe like hyper-independence. Because in reality, with the numbers, right, like that we talked about earlier, the reality is there are a lot of single parents out here. And so, God forbid, worst case scenario, you have situations like that. A woman does need to know how to be independent. And even without even taking kids in, putting kids in the picture, a young woman needs to know how to be independent in the sense of being able to fend for herself and be able to be on her own without having to rely on anyone. Because on the same token, we talk about society, we also have these messages that, you know, run the bag up, like, you know, get these guys and
right,
have
right,
them
right.
spend all their money.
Fair enough.
Let me go ahead to this last break.
Quinn, I got to take care of this last break. Plus, I want to hear more about your stuff as well. So sorry to cut you off, but I want to get this last finish up the segment. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. 781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
What's up with you, dog?
Everything, man. Straight up, though, me and my girl, we about to have our first child, and I think she's losing her mind, boy.
For real? Y'all been going through it?
Yeah, to a degree, but real talk, she just stressing way too much and stay worrying about how we gonna raise this child, man. Like, I try to reassure her, but her anxiety got her on tilt, boy.
Yeah, stressing too much can't be a good thing during pregnancy. But hey, I remember hearing about this dope psychotherapist on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, Sinead Benito. She is starting a mental health and new mothers online support group. You should enroll your girl.
Yeah, that sounds good, you know what I'm saying? But therapy's kind of expensive, right?
No, it's only $15 a session.
$15? What I need to do to sign up?
Go to her website, SineadBenito.com, and hit the drop-down box for group therapy, and you will see the mental health and new mothers class.
Hold up. What's the website again? And spell it for me.
SineadBenito.com. SHANAEB as in boy, ENITO.com.
Bet that.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host SoulScribe. This morning's discussion question, what can we do to support single mothers? Our special guest, Sinead Benito, as you just heard in that cut, is offering a new mother's mental health and new mother's support group. So if you will, Queen, let's highlight this resource before, because I want to challenge both of you on y'all thoughts on this independent thing, but we want to make sure we get people their resources. Before we get into that dialogue. So, yeah, tell them more about it. Again, you've already kind of spoke about it, but if there's any more details you would like to share as well, please do it right now. Love the fact that you're even doing this. I've had it. Let me highlight this real quick. You've done a support group for mothers mm-hmm. and single mothers in the past, and one of my members absolutely loved everything that she was able to get in their previous support group, so I wanted to share that with you as well. But go ahead, Queen.
Thank you for saying that. I'm glad that she did. So, yes, as mentioned earlier, but just with more detail, we do have the group starting on next Wednesday. I'm sorry, the 13th. So the 13th from 1 to 2:30. And it is for mothers who are expecting or who have, like, toddlers, so two and under. And so we'll talk about a lot of tough issues, time management, battling postpartum. If for those who are single, what dating might look like as a new mother, if that's something you want to explore, the importance of mental health, prioritizing yourself, carving out time for yourself. So many great topics, not just speaking from opinion, but also psychological evidence-based practices and coping skills and all those good things. So if you want to sign up, it is on the website, shanaebenito.com, shanaebenito.com. It's only $15 for these group sessions, and we just kind of have a really great time and learn and kind of fellowship and get prepared for what is probably going to be one of the biggest blessings of your life, if not you already being a mom now. So definitely come on out virtually.
I love it. From the beauty of your home. And so if anybody's listening that knows anybody in this situation, let's make sure we get this resource out, spread it throughout the community. Obviously, we have our community club, but at the end of the day, we want everybody to have these available resources. So thank you, Queen, for, again, the work that you do in the community. I admire you greatly, and hopefully we can, you know, add to the support group, because I know more perspectives, the more people you help, the better it feels for you just doing the work. So, again, thank you for the work. All right, but back to this morning's discussion question, what can we do to help support single mothers? And obviously, just anybody may have just tuned in, I asked y'all that question in a sense. Does the conversation, matter of fact, I mean, when mothers and fathers push their daughters to be independent, is this helpful or detrimental to their future relationships? And so I'm going to talk about this again in some nuance. And so, like, today when you say, well, maybe hyper-independent. And so when I hear that type of stuff, think of the word salads that we come up with in today's times. We've had a show, for example, on toxic masculinity. And then in that, I'm just using this as an example. And so, for example, when that word is out there, we had a big, long dialogue on that show just explaining that when a word pops up like that, sometimes you get confusion on what the word kind of originally stood for versus this new, versus this new thing. So I offer self-sufficient versus independent. And so it's not about me being right. It's about us having a dialogue with you, you and SoulScribe. But I want to highlight that, generally speaking, nobody's thinking, for example, hyper-independent. We simply use the word independent in a way that we see a benefit to standing on your own and not needing another, if you will. And now going back to culture, in cultures where we're not having, if you will, these high of divorce rates, we're not in cultures where there's not, these high levels of broken home like you're seeing in Western society, I would highlight that level of independent and individualism that is advocated typically, like I said, I don't need to use the word hyper-independent. I'm just talking about the way we teach it now. As we say, stand on it, it sets you up to not learn the skills that it takes to be interdependent in a relationship. So I think it is very harmful even for a single father or just to highlight how much I think this is a problem, even a single father who's very typically going to raise their daughter not to need a man. I'm using that comment purposefully because I feel like a lot of the independent stuff does not set you up for what it takes to operate within a relationship. So obviously,
I disagree because, well, I didn't get to finish making my point before the break.
Yeah, go ahead, Queen.
But the reason why is because being raised to be independent, the word independent in itself is not negative. We paint it as a negative term when it's being referred to Black women being independent. But when we talk about what that looks like, independence, yes, it is talking about self-reliance. It's talking about being able to fend for yourself. It is talking about being able to have those basic skills. Being taught to be independent does not mean that you are taught that you don't need a man. Take away the therapist. I'll talk from a personal standpoint. My parents raised me to be independent in a sense of getting my education, financial literacy, being able to, you know, become an entrepreneur, the whole concept of being able to be a woman who can provide for myself coming up, right? But in the same token, my parents have been together since they were 18 years old, and my mother has definitely made sure she poured into me love. I've gotten to see great example of Black love from my great-grandmother. I call her my grandmother. So you can still be taught how to love and the importance of Black family and the importance of a man in a sense of what that feels like to fulfill a family aspect. But when we're talking about independence, I look at that as financial. Now, you do have some situations where women use, you know, their ability to be financially independent as a reason why they don't need a man. But I think when we're talking about how we're raising our girls and raising young women, teaching them to be independent is not a negative thing. It's teaching them that they don't need a man in order to be happy or to, you know, feel fulfilled or family is not that important. That's a totally separate message, in my opinion. I mean, you shouldn't teach them that they...
That's a fair opinion.
Because independent become negative? And we talk about other cultures in this world, but there also are a lot of cultures where women aren't as educated as they are in this country. They don't have the opportunities that women have in this country. They aren't as college educated as women in this country. So we do have more ability to do more things. Independence is not labeled negative as in any other aspect as it is when it talks about Black women.
So again, fair opinion. I still disagree with it, and I'll get Soulscribe's thoughts as well. And I disagree from this standpoint. So in a sense, the things that you're even highlighting in your example, we are naive to when you say some women may take it that way, the reality is we have constant dialogues ad nauseum about the situation of, if you will, women entering the marketplace to be able to provide for themselves, get their education, go do those things, and the difficult of consummating a relationship based on cultural dynamics. And so the places that you do see, again, high divorce rates are, I'm not talking about whether they're educated or not, I'm just talking about the aspect of that dynamic and how it does not lend to being interdependent. At the end of the day, Black men and Black women need each other, and I don't think you disagree with that at all, because, again, you had that example, so I'm not suggesting I'm not saying that what you're suggesting is saying we don't need each other. I am highlighting that the focus on that creates a hurdle that has to be overcome, considering that that type of push does not push you to be interdependent like families require. Like, I don't think there's no denial in that that dialogue creates an obstacle. I think it would be a mistake to think that it's not an obstacle. Go ahead, Soulscribe. Give me your thoughts as well, Queen.
Oh, wow. So I do agree that independence is important, but I also feel like we need to learn how to, I know Montoya and I've talked before, and you need to learn how to be a damsel in distress. You know, men need to feel needed, and that's a part of their whole makeup and their ego. They want to provide, and so there has to be a balance in teaching our women how to balance that, so that the men around them do feel somewhat needed. That doesn't mean give up everything you have or not be successful, but on top of everything else that is being pushed in our community, the music is a really big push for us to be separated, to be single, to be harsh women who don't need a man for nothing. And I just think we have to, you know, we don't have a lot of debutantes anymore, people doing etiquette classes and teaching women how to, you know, still be feminine. And, you know, I think, you know, over the years recently, you know, we're talking more about feminine energy and what that looks like, and, you know, making sure that we still instill that softness in our young girls. My daughter, I'm teaching her that every day. You know, she did something.
I love it.
I was in a relationship.
Yeah, we're at the end, yeah. Queen. I love how we're unfortunately having to close, but I love what you just said. Again, it has to be part of the consideration in the event that we are going to make our daughter self-sufficient. I love what you just said. That the other aspect of what you're teaching your daughter has to be a part of it, and sometimes I think that gets missed. Again, it's no right or wrong. It's just a dialogue from my book, Reeducation of the Negro. Thank y'all. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you
thank you.